I wanted to point you in the direction of something quite wonderful. And it has to do with Gopinath. Gopinath is the cue, the word that we decided was going to tell the devotees to raise the curtain so we can see Giriraj. So everyone call out Gopinath, and maybe the Gopinath! Okay, look, they go. Look, we're going to see Giriraj. I think our chanting isn't sincere enough yet. Gopinath! When the curtain raises, it's one of the happiest of times. But then, when the curtain goes down, it's so sad. It's a good time to prepare the consciousness. Waiting times are very important in that sense. We prepare our consciousness for receptivity. When we're in the tent of our consciousness, we think that nothing exists external. The mind becomes smaller. But then, when the curtain raises, by the mercy of Gopinath, then we see so much exists. We see, actually, Giriraj, Krishna has been there all along. And although we couldn't see him, he's always there. Gopinath! Okay. He wants me to bend lower, be more humble. This is Vrindavan. Very mysterious place. So gradually, the title of this presentation about the earliest chapter of the Bhagavatam, it shall be revealed, Krishna willing. But first, let me offer my respects to Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. Om Ganatamirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Samilitan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhai Bhaccha Patitanam Pabhinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Evoking the blessings of the Vaishnavas, we shall begin. Now, one of the most difficult things of making a presentation is deciding where to begin. Because if we begin at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, then we probably won't get to the topic in our five classes. But if we begin just at the first verse of the 10th canto, we won't have any background. So I've chosen to start explaining a little bit about the later cantos of the Bhagavatam, and especially the very end of the 9th canto. In the 9th canto of the Bhagavatam, the dynasties of the sun and the moon, especially the moon dynasty, has been described. These are all coming from the Manus. And as the first verse will explain, that these dynasties were full of exalted persons. So Maharaj Prickett, who from the very, very beginning in the first canto, in the 19th chapter, as soon as he sees Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he asks the sages, or even before he sees Sukadeva Goswami himself, he asks the sages to please tell me about Krishna, tell me about Vishnu. I want to hear specifically about Krishna and his different forms. And then there were so many topics all relating to Krishna, different avatars, different great devotees of different grades. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a tour of the whole universe. And there's a tour of that describes the potency of devotional service from Ajramil to Daksha to Chitraketu to Vitrasura to at the end to Diti performing the Pumsa Savana ritual in the sixth canto, that there's a tour of devotional service performed imperfectly. And yet, it's shown that by the mercy of Krishna and by the power of Sarup Siddha Bhakti, the power of chanting the names, the power of the Bhagavatam, Krishna invests all his power in certain activities that are none different from him. Hearing about Krishna, the holy Dham, chanting about Krishna, chanting Krishna's names. They have the potency, special potency of Krishna. And even when these practices are imperfectly performed, they still give the most incredible results, but they don't give the highest result with an imperfect performance of them. If we all know this, if we chant with our mind wandering, without any love, without any devotion, when we hear with a distracted mind, there's some benefit, but the benefit isn't full. Krishna doesn't fully manifest himself. We don't experience love for Krishna, yet there's such benefit. So that in the sixth canto, these imperfectly performed or devotional service, powerful as it is, imperfectly performed as described. And then in the seventh canto, Sri Prahlad Maharaj is described, who is the exemplar of devotional service. He performs it, as he describes in the 10th chapter of the 7th canto. He performs devotional service. He actually says that the Lord has sent him here to give an example that others can follow of devotional service. And that's most of the 7th canto. And then the 8th canto, there's different points. And the 9th canto, especially the different dynasties are described, one after another. There's this king and that king and this king and that king. And one can wonder, why are these kings just listed one after another, after another, after another? And it is described that there's a specific purpose to show us that even if you are a king, a controller of this world, you're only there for the shortest amount of time. And then it describes how this great king came and he did this wonderful thing. And then his son did this wonderful thing. And then that son's son and grandson did all. But it's just like a flow, a continuous flow, pushing time. And no one stays. This is the material world. No one stays. No matter how great our accomplishments are, no one stays here. And then finally, at the end of the ninth chapter, nearing the middle of the ninth chapter, the glorious Lord Ramachandra is described. His pastimes are described in brief. A mini abbreviated Ramayana is given. And he is the jewel in the Sun Dynasty. And then a little bit later, what happens is there is a very brief description of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it's taking birth in the Moon Dynasty. I want to read a few of those verses, because there's a beautiful, beautiful description that Srila Sukadeva Goswami gives of Krishna. So in the 60th verse, and we'll just quickly read to the 67th verse. Now, when monkeys have a party, it's still monkey business. There's nothing of substance that goes on. And usually it ends in a fight, like most parties, except the Sankirtan party. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Prickett, who has just a few days to live, multiplied by 24, it's only hours before he's to die. He explains that Krishna comes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, with the cooperation of Shankarshan, Balaram, performed activities beyond the mental comprehension of even such persons as Brahma and Lord Shiva. Krishna's pastimes cannot be penetrated, cannot be understood by the power of one's intelligence. It is not that they're complicated, but in their simplicity, in the fact that the all-powerful, all-pervading, unlimited Lord chooses to perform these pastimes in Vrindavan as a cowherd boy, herding the cows, with mother, with father, with friends, with gopis. This is inconceivable. Because this is his personality, his specific characteristics. This is the all-powerful king when he takes off his throne, so to speak, and gives up the rigidness of being in court, and he walks out the door and he goes into his private quarters when he can just do what he wants with the people who he loves and trusts and who love and trust him the most. This is Vrindavan. This is the most incomprehensible, through one's own speculation, of aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the king is in his private quarters, he's playing with his son, and his son, little boy, is wrestling with him, and the king falls down on the ground as if the little son has knocked him out. But he's still the king. At any moment, he can say, off with their heads, let this happen, armies attack, whatever. He still doesn't lose his power. But there he's sort of just being the innermost part of himself, exchanging love with his dearest devotees. And no one can gain access to this place by their mental power. But why does he do this? Why does he come and display this? Listen to what Brahma says, and this is going to come out especially in the prayers of the demigods in the second chapter, which will be in our third class. Why does Krishna come? So we know yada yada hi dhammasya, he comes to deliver to destroy the miscreants, the demonic, terrible elements of the world, and to establish religious principles, but that's sort of a external, outside reason why he comes. And now Srila Sukadeva will say something more deep and more internal that is so important that will bring up one of the first topic that when we enter the 10th canto, it will come up very strongly. He comes to show causeless mercy. Now, if I was in my teacher mode, I would say at the end of this verse, I'm going to ask you what you remember. So I think I'll enter my teacher mode because it's so important. To show causeless mercy to the devotees, that means please listen carefully, who would take birth in the future, in this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, but simply by remembering him, one will be free from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. And Prabhupada's translation puts in parentheses. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in the Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. So remembering Krishna, he's come and performs the pastimes that are described in the 10th canto and including Bhagavad Gita, certainly, so that we can remember them and transcend, go beyond the difficult time period known as Kali Yuga. Actually, we are spiritual by nature. We are eternal. This is not our true existence. So by hearing about Krishna, we become attracted to go beyond the bodily concept of life. Continuing, simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears. Now, what does that mean? Purified transcendental ears. Raise your hand if you can. Hearing the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears. What does that mean? Yeah. Ears. I mean, these ears? Okay. But so it's transcendental ears don't have to do with these little things, but they have to do with consciousness. These ears, after all, are composed of matter. But our consciousness, the symptom of the soul, if one hears properly in transcendental receptive consciousness, then one actually experiences Krishna in the katha, in the talking. One experiences the spiritual world. So simply receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. Now, these verses can be classes and classes and classes by themselves, but we'll go through them. We'll attempt to go through them quickly. So now into some more of what Krishna did. Assisted by the descendants of the Bhoja, Vrishni, Andaka, Madhu, Surasena, Dasarha, Kuru, Srinjaya, and Pandu, Lord Krishna performed various activities. And by his pleasing smiles, because Madhuram, 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 Krishna's smile is to say it's pleasing. Pleasing can mean different things according to our consciousness, but completely captivating. His soft smile, mridu gandhi, mridu smitta, madhu smitta, mridu gandhi. I got it backwards. Mridu smitta, madhu gandhi. His smile is compared to the fragrance of honey. Now, when we think of honey, we don't think of its fragrance. We think of its sweet taste. But Krishna's smile is compared to the fragrance of honey, very subtle. Not like that, but very, very subtle, that it captivates the mind completely. By his pleasing smile, his affectionate behavior, this is Krishna. By his instructions, by his uncommon pastimes, like raising, what are the next two words? Govardhan Hill, the Lord appearing in his transcendental body, pleased all of human society. Now here's a description of Krishna's face that Srila Sukadev Goswami gives. Now you have to hear this, not you have to, but please hear this with your transcendental ears. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings that resemble makara, sharks. His ears are beautiful. His cheeks, reflecting the earrings, are brilliant. And his smiling is attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfying for everyone to see. But always means a change of topic. But the devotees, seeing Krishna is pleasing for everyone to see, but the devotees are angry, not pleased. How could that be? They're angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes. Also described in the Gopi Gita, the same point. They become angry because their eyes, nimesha, their eyes blink, and for that nimesha, that small part of a second, they cannot see Krishna, and that is so disturbing to them. So disturbing, they become angry, transcendental anger. Giving a hint for us to be, because how is someone who is seeing Krishna, like Srila Sukadev Goswami, how is he going to describe it, what Krishna looks like? How is he going to describe what Krishna looks like so that we who don't have either myself transcendental ears or transcendental eyes will get a glimpse of Krishna's beauty? So he speaks in this way that forces our mind to think beyond the way that it usually thinks. That seeing beauty that is so vast and unlimited that the blinking of the eyes that we don't even notice is disturbing. So how beautiful we can't conceive. But if we can't, because our minds are limited. And Krishna's beauty is unlimited. Just try to think of what that means, unlimited beauty. Unlimited beauty. How attractive is unlimited beauty? Unlimitedly attractive. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So Sukadeva again is speaking to Maharaj Prickett, who has transcendental ears, and Sukadeva Goswami has a transcendental mouth and a transcendental mind. So this connection is being made. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, known as Lila Purushottama, appeared as the son of Vasudev. So this is the introduction that he's giving to Krishna. Appeared as the son of Vasudev, but immediately He left his father's home. And he went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationship with his confidential devotees. He left his father's home immediately, and he went to Vrindavan, and this is described later by our acharyas, when Krishna leaves Mathura and goes to Vrindavan, and the whole drama of Kamsa, etc. This is a drama to give Krishna the reason to leave Mathura, because Janmadyasyatanvyaritarascheteshuabhigyasvarat. Svarat means independent. So Krishna, being completely independent and abhigya, who knows everything, he knew that his devotees, the residents of Vrindavan, Madhyashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Srimati Radharani, the gopis, the cowherd boys, Sridham, Sudham, the cows, they're all waiting for him in Vrindavan. And he wanted to go, to expand his loving relationships with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons. And afterward, he returned to Dwarka. So in two words or one half of a sentence, he's just summarized, Srila Sukadeva Goswami has just summarized the first 50 chapters of the 10th canto. And he married many wives who were the best of women, and he begot through them hundreds of sons and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of household life. Now, I will ask you a question, because I forgot to ask you the questions that I was supposed to ask you before. Do you think that Maharaj Prickett is going to be satisfied? He's been listening and waiting with his heart full of love for Krishna. Do you think he's going to be satisfied with just this very brief summary? Raise your hand if you think he's going to be satisfied. There's not even one rebellious person here who's going to say, yes, I think he's going to be satisfied. Because you are all 100% correct. You are all graduate students. And that's what happens next. There's one more verse. He's going to begin asking questions that ultimately ask one make one request. Please tell me more. Please tell me more about Krishna. Please, I want to hear about Krishna. So the final text in this ninth canto, this 24th chapter of the ninth canto, text 67. Thereafter, Lord Krishna created a misunderstanding between the family members, between his family members, the Yadu dynasty. This is described in the first chapter of the 11th canto and the 29th, the 30th and 31st chapters of the 11th canto. He created a misunderstanding amongst his family members just to diminish the burden of the world, simply by his glance. Whoops. This is referring to the Battle of Kurukshetra, excuse me. He annihilated all the demoniac kings on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and declared victory for Arjuna. Finally, he instructed Uddhav, this is in the 11th canto, chapters 6 through 29, Uddhava Gita, about transcendental life and devotion. And then in the 30th and 31st chapters of the 11th canto, a misunderstanding amongst the members of the Yadu dynasty takes place, and Krishna, after that, leaves and returns to his own abode in his original form. Now, Srila Prabhupada's purports here are wonderful. And Srila Prabhupada's purports in the chapters that we'll read of the 10th canto are wonderful, and these are some of the last purports that he dictated. But we won't be able to read them all because I want to give an overview and concentrate on just a few things, and we'll read just portions of Prabhupada's purports. And we're going to have to sort of rush through things in parts because I want to make the attempt, which is very difficult for me, to finish the first four chapters of the 10th canto. I don't know if I'm really going to be able to do it, but we shall try. Now, before we go on, I would like you to find one person, make a small group that we'll use for the rest of this class of two or three people, not more than two or three unless it's four, but not more than four or four and a half. Just keep it one or make it two or three people and just discuss what you heard just for 5 or 7 minutes. Go ahead. And it's helpful if you speak to someone who speaks the same language as you. But just find someone to speak to about what you just heard. 5, 7 minutes only. Okay, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We'll have more time to discuss. Okay, so the first verse of the 10th canto. First verse of the 10th canto. Hopefully we'll be able to almost see it up there. So, the king now speaks in response. Maharaj Prickett speaks in response to what he's just heard from Sukadev Goswami. So he says, Kati Sri Raju Vacha, Maharaj Prickett said, Katita Vamsa Vistara. So you have already, in a very broad way, in a general way, described in your Kata, it has already been described, Bhavato Soma Surjaya. Bhavato is a very respectful form of you. You have already described in your kata the description, but very, very generally, of the Soma and Surya dynasty. Because in the Soma dynasty is mentioned first because the Surya dynasty is Lord Ramachandra has taken birth. But a little more emphasis Maharaj Prickett is giving here, a little more respect and emphasis is giving on the Soma dynasty, the moon dynasty, because in the moon dynasty, Krishna has taken birth and he wants to hear about Krishna. Ragyam chobaya vamsyanam. So you've described in a broad way the characteristics of those members of the dynasty, Charitam Paramabhutam. Adbhuta means wonderful. And they've performed, who performed wonderful activities. So you've already described that. And he speaks this verse to Sukadev Goswami because he wants to increase his enthusiasm to speak, because they've been speaking for days and days and days, and neither of them have slept, and neither of them have drank anything or eaten anything. So he wants to tell him, and this is going to occur again, that yes, I'm listening very carefully, and I'm very eager to hear. And when he mentions that you have explain the wonderful adbhuta characteristics of the kings of these dynasties. But yet, until you spoke about Lord Ramachandra, and just very briefly spoke about Krishna, sweetness had not yet been attained. And he wants to taste that sweetness. Every soul wants to taste the sweetness of his relationship with Krishna. Now, I'll just quickly read Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami's comments here. And it's interesting, the first thing they say. This is how Srila Sanatana Goswami begins his commentary on the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. I surrender to Madan Gopal, Govinda, the king of Vrindavan, who is anxious to give mercy to the wretched. What does wretched mean? What's the first in English word for wretched? Fallen, but worse, but lower than fallen. Very, very, very fallen. What's the Hindi word for wretched? Deen. But is there something? Huh? Nietzsche. Tucha. Insignificant. That's, yes. What's the Russian word that we can go through all the different languages? Okay. So he's anxious to give mercy to the wretched. I offer respects to the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is an ocean of mercy, who appeared in Bengal to spread prema bhakti. Please allow these words to enter deeply into your consciousness. I offer respects to Madhavendra Puri, along with his disciples. Prabhu, could you maybe put up the sound, at least from my point? I don't know if the devotees can hear, but otherwise I'll tend to overdo it and then lose my voice. I offer respects to Madhava Puri, along with his disciples. Because of him, the desire tree of Krishna Bhakti was sown, planted amongst the people. I offer respects to Srila Sridhar Swami, the sole protector of bhakti, who gave a systematic commentary for the purpose of perfecting bhakti. I offer respects to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is ornamented with all knowledge and who is the ornament of Bengal. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur just comments that in order to increase the enthusiasm of the speaker, Prickett Maharaj praises the previous descriptions of the Bhagavatam. Next. This is this verse translation, Prabhupada's translation. Maharaj Prickett said, "My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of their kings. Now the next verse. Yados Chadama Shilasya. And in this was the Yadu dynasty who were very attached, Dharma Shilasya, very attached to religious principles. Nitaram, who was so qualified, O Muni Satama, O best of sages, O best of Munis. You have already described this in a wonderful way, O Sukadeva Goswami. Tatra Amsena Avatirnasya. And also you have described, because he's slowly getting to what he wants to say, because he's a gentle speaker. You have described Tatra Amsena, in that dynasty, the Amsena who appeared as an incarnation. Is it too loud now a little bit? No, it's okay? Okay. Who appeared as an incarnation. So the word Amsena has several meanings. One meaning is you have described Amsa means a part, just partially this. And then the last word, is going to say, I want to hear this. I want to hear this in detail from beginning to end. He's going to say this. But Amsena means just a part. Another meaning of Amsena you have described Krishna, who Vishnu is his part. And another meaning is you've described Krishna, who is Vishnu's part. And Srila Sridhara Swami comments that in this way he's hiding these activities of Krishna because they are so secret and so confidential. And later on in one of his commentaries, he's going to say there are two ways to look at them, two ways to look at everything, actually. In an internal way, in a deep way, and in an external way, just seeing the form, the superficial way. And he explains that these topics about Krishna, they're really meant for the devotees who see in an internal way, not externally. Internal way means deeply. So tatra amsena avatirnasya, and then Vishnu Viryani Samsana. Please describe. Viryani means the glorious. Please describe the glorious activities of Lord Vishnu to us. Samsa, kindly describe this to us. And Srila Sanatana Goswami comments on why is he calling him Sukadev Munisattama? It's because that he is the best of Munis. He's so qualified to speak about Krishna. And interestingly enough, that King Yadu, which he's described in the 9th canto, King Yadu, his dynasty is most famous, and his dynasty is the dynasty that Krishna chose to appear in. But one may say King Yadu did something irreligious. He refused to accept his father's request to exchange his own youth for his father's old age. So there have been many comments on this by the acharyas. Some comment that yes, this is to show that the family life aspects of life, of existence, are completely insignificant, and yes, they are to be rejected for the highest cause. And sometimes the preaching is like that, but some of our acharyas also explain the reason, despite the seeming superficial fault of Yadu, Maharaj Yadu, there was a perfect reason for that. And that reason was that he was a pure devotee, and he wanted to enhance his pure devotional service. So due to Krishna's affection for King Yadu, as Kunti Devi explains in the first canto, 8th chapter, because of Yadu's purity, his pure devotion, therefore Krishna appeared in his dynasty. Okay, next verse. Now he's going to move closer to exactly what he wants to say. O best of Munis, oh, this is the translation, excuse me. You have described the descendants of Yadu who are very pious, and who were strictly adherent to religious principles. Now, if you will kindly describe the wonderful, glorious activities of Lord Vishnu, or Krishna, who appeared in that Yadu dynasty with Baladev, his plenary expansion. Another meaning of Amsa in there, with Balaram, his Amsa, his plenary expansion. Avatirya, Yadu of Amsa, that This is the third verse. So after descending Avatirya Duravamsa, after descending in the dynasty of Yadu, Bhagavan Bhuta Bhavana, speaking directly about Krishna, who Bhuta Bhavana has many meanings. Bhuta Bhavana means who protects everyone by his mercy. And this is this Bhuta Bhavana understood as protects everyone by his own mercy can be discussed, and it will be discussed this particular katha, because sometimes we don't feel protected by him, by his mercy. Sometimes we feel quite abandoned from his mercy. Sometimes we feel that he's not there really when we need him the most. Like King Kamsa was averse to Krishna and his mercy. So we're going to discuss that. But here he's saying how Bhagavan Krishna, who protects everyone by his mercy, Kritavan Jani Vishvatma, who is the supersoul of the entirety of existence, that he gives life to existence. All of existence, Mama Angso Teja Sambhava, all of existence rests upon him. That Bhagavan, whose Angsa is the supersoul, whose part is the supersoul, who is so merciful, who protects everyone. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined Bhuta Bhavana in a little bit of a different way, and perhaps even a little bit of a sweeter way, that to all living entities, he is the bestower of prema bhakti. He gives love, bhava, to everyone. And this Bhagavatam is, one could say, an attempt for Krishna, and the holy names are an attempt for Krishna, to give prema bhakti to everyone. And the process of doing that is going to be described. I'm sure all the devotees are really speaking about this one topic only, how to advance in developing our love for Krishna. So, he who gives jivas, who causes the jivas to be immersed in love for imprema bhakti. And then, so he who descends and executes the activities, tan no veda vistarat. Vistarat means elaborately, and vada means kindly speak about him. Speak about him elaborately, in detail. I want to hear everything. Please, do not summarize Krishna's activities as you have just summarized them. I want to hear from the beginning to the end. And very soon he's going to ask questions that he wants answers. And then he'll even say, I want to hear about the... Please speak about the... Answer these questions, but please also speak about everything that I have not asked about also. He's eager, unlimitedly eager to hear. What you previously described in two verses, summarized 45 chapters of the 10th canto, so briefly, now I want to hear everything. Now, I just wanted to read this one little, there's three verses that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur places in his comment that show how Krishna is the person who immerses everyone in prema. They're all in love for him, in the ecstasy of that. He just briefly gives one part of three Bhagavatam verses, and interestingly enough, none of them are from the 10th canto even. First verse from the ninth canto, the 24th chapter. He gave pleasure to mankind through his beautiful form. Because once one actually gets a glimpse of the beautiful form of Krishna, and one, there are so many different levels upon which one can see that form, but once one glimpses that form, one's completely immersed in love for Krishna. A second verse. Mankind was unsatisfied after tasting his sweetness, and they developed a desire to taste more and more and more. And the third verse, the sweetness of Krishna's beauty, it steals the functions of the senses. And the senses desire no other form. And it drowns, Krishna's form drowns the senses in an ocean of beauty. And in that way, Krishna's form awards prema. Then the fourth verse was yesterday we heard that our we'll speak about the medicine. Adi Purusha Prabhu will speak about the medicine, and he spoke about this verse yesterday. Navritta tarshaya upagiyamanam bhavoshadat. This is the oshad. Hearing about Krishna, gunanavad upagiyamanam, because he's just been speaking about Krishna. Hearing about Krishna, for the person who is navritta tarshaya, who is free from all material attachments, and it gives shrotaman abhiramat, it gives so much pleasure. But for those who are not yet free from material attachments, it acts as oshud, or medicine, and it cures one's attachments to the material world, which ultimately mean doom. So it gives pleasure for the greatest of devotees. It gives pleasure to the mind and the senses, and they float and swim in the ocean of ecstasy. And sometimes it is like medicine for those who are not yet free. But this medicine is not like most medicines that have a very bitter taste. It has a very pleasing taste, pleasing to the mind and the senses. So everyone but one who engages Pumam Vrajeta Bina Pashubna, other than those who are very cruel-hearted, they will not be able to give up hearing about Krishna. So what Sukadeva Goswami or Maharaj Prickett is saying here is one should not doubt my eagerness. He's encouraging Sukadeva Goswami, don't doubt my eagerness to hear Krishna Katha. So please, I want to hear this very elaborately. I want to hear about Krishna. So glorification, here is Srila Prabhupada's translation. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple, not concocted and given one's own interpretations. Such glorification is relished by those who are no longer interested in the false temporary glorifications of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? Now, please, for 5 minutes, just discuss. Go ahead. Discuss what you heard. And discuss what struck you. Discuss. If you have any questions, ask them. Your thoughts on this. You can discuss your embarrassment by having a very little taste for Krishna Katha. You can discuss sometimes it's been so sweet to hear about Krishna, and other times your mind is distracted. Next verse. Now Maharaj Prickett gives another type of a reason why he wants to take shelter of Krishna. Taking the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. Damodar? Yeah. My grandfather Arjuna and others crossed the ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, in which such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled great fish that could have very easily swallowed them. So here, the battle of Kurukshetra, where Arjuna fought with the Pandavas, with the Kauravas, the Pandavas fought with the Kauravas and the armies, it was like an ocean compared to an ocean. And it was because of taking shelter of Krishna's feet, taking shelter of Krishna, Maharaj Prickett is saying, my grandfather, Arjuna, was able to cross over this ocean. So this explanation of Kurukshetra battle being like an ocean, it's going to be described also later when the material world is compared to an ocean. So how to cross the ocean of material existence. And in this ocean here, that's the real topic that we will be discussing as after we gradually work our way through this introduction. In this ocean, such commanders as Bhishma Dev resembled great fish that could have very easily swallowed them, meaning the members of the Pandu dynasty. And by the mercy of Lord Krishna, Yatplava, the shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. And this is really the issue that comes up again and again. How to get the shelter of the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. And how to stay on that boat as Arjuna and the Pandavas stayed on that boat. So this is the topic that really is the issue for us who are not yet firmly situated on the boat. And how firmly we are situated on the boat of Krishna's lotus feet and what exactly that means. Because the waves of this world, sometimes the world, the ocean of the material world, seems very placid and peaceful. But sometimes there's a tidal wave, practically speaking. Sometimes one can compare death to a tidal wave. Very, very difficult. It destroys, it pushes, it disorients. The pain of death is compared to being stung by hundreds of scorpions. If you've ever been stung by a bee, even one little bee, one's whole consciousness goes there in great pain and distress. What to speak of death? So how firmly one has to be on the boat of Krishna's lotus feet to be able to really feel securely sheltered. And one can see life. One can see life with its thousands of tests and difficulties as training for that most difficult moment. So Arjuna was able to cross. And and this question comes up very often. Or it can come up. What stops me from actually fully taking shelter of Krishna? Because there's such a tendency to, yes, I'm a devotee, but I hold something back. I hold something back. Why? What am I trusting or what am I not trusting that causes me to hold back from full surrender to Krishna, fully taking shelter of Krishna? So there's going to be so many, in our discussions, there'll be so many opportunities to discuss this topic. So let us just move on. But understand this ocean that Maharaj Prickett is talking about the Battle of Kurukshetra, we are also on an ocean, but a different kind of ocean. But, he says, my grandfathers, all of them, they crossed this ocean, Kritvataran, which was so difficult to cross, Mama Maya Daratyaya, as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf, Vatsaparam. And this specific goal, Vatsaparam, will come up again in the Devatas, the demigods' prayers, the term. That the ocean of the material world, which is so vast, becomes so small, he's saying, for one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. That encouragement is being given to us, and he's encouraging Sukadeva Goswami to speak about this Krishna whose feet are the shelter, and to hear about Krishna. Okay. And Sukadev Maharaj Prickett is saying that I want to hear about Krishna because this is my family heritage. He has been the shelter of my family always. My grandfather, my great-grandfather, all the way back to King Yadu, my forefather. He has always been our shelter. So naturally, I want to take shelter of him. And not only that, he has a personal experience. This is the next verse, 6. Because my mother surrendered unto Lord Krishna's lotus feet, Matuscha Meya Saranam Gataya, the word surrender comes up, giving oneself, returning to one's actual natural position in the shelter of Krishna, Krishna Bhule Se Jiva Nadiya Bahimukh, not turning away from Krishna, but rather turning him towards him, regardless of how high the waves are, as we make our attempt to cross the ocean of the material world, surrendering to that, having no choice because one's already firmly made one's commitment. How to get that resolve? What are the different levels of consciousness in that way? Maharaj Prickett, because my mother had surrendered unto Krishna's lotus feet, the Lord, Sudarshan Chakra in hand, entered her womb and saved my body. This is described in the first canto of the Bhagavatam in several chapters. Man Angam, he even saved my body. He not only protected my consciousness, but he saved even my body with the whirling of his club. And his eyes, when Asatama had shot the Brahmastra to kill the last surviving member of the Kuru dynasty, Krishna's eyes were reddish with anger because his devotees were being threatened. It's important to get to know Krishna. Otherwise, how will we have the faith and trust to surrender to him? I've heard it said that the Indian or the culture, Vedic culture way of greeting someone like this, which also, by the way, opens up your heart chakra. So when we pray, we do this. And it's not quite this, but it's this. The heart chakra is opened. I've heard it described that this is when you greet someone swagatam like this, it's much better than a handshake, the Western way, because you never know what the person has in his other hand behind his back in that way. But this way, it's clear that my intention is full, that I am greeting you. So it's a complete Not holding anything back, not hiding something. That is what surrender actually is. Both hands, Draupadi, both hands in the air. And how to deepen surrender. That means deepening one's trust, deepening one's love, getting to know the person that we're surrendering to and trusting him that yes, in fact, he will protect me. And not only that, and this will come up very soon, not only that, but not even thinking I'm surrendering to him because he'll protect me, but surrendering to him because he is mine. This is really the experience of the residents of Vrindavan. Everything is given to Krishna. Everything. And not forced. It's natural. It's spontaneous. Everything is given to Krishna. So, he saved my body, even my body, the body of the last remaining descendant of the Kuru and the Pandavas, Kuru Pandavanam, which was almost destroyed by the fiery weapon of Ashwatthama. So this was his personal experience. And this is one of the important things that one does in one's life is to gather personal experiences. So when we preach on behalf of Krishna, when we do something that's perhaps a little bit beyond what we want to do, just because it's pleasing to Krishna, to Guru, to Prabhupada, to Vaishnavas, it's a little bit beyond our capacity. Just the typical example is the book distributors. Or anyone really who is doing any service, but doing it regularly. And this point of doing it regularly, because to do something occasionally is one thing. But when you do any service regularly, there comes times when the last thing you want to do is cook the offering, distribute the book, or maybe even give the Bhagavatam class. If you do something regularly, one is confronted with one's mind and the lack of desire to surrender, to give oneself to Krishna, to act to please Krishna. And then one has hit the wall of one's limitation, one's own personal ability. And that position to be in is very uncomfortable. The sorrow, in the words of one acharya, one has to face the sorrow of one's lowliness. The sorrow of one's lowliness. And that sorrow can turn into humility if it's confronted and one turns to Krishna and boards the boat of his lotus feet, of his service, that I don't have the ability to do this. My only hope is if you help me. And to do that sincerely, and it happens when one is doing service regularly, and for a pious person, as we shall hear, it happens very regularly. This awards us with the jewels of experience that's not out of the book, even though the book is transcendental. But for us who need to become transcendental, these type of experiences are the wealth of our life. People work so hard to get wealth in this world. Practically speaking, everyone is consumed by the desire. Why? That was a real question. Why? Raise your hand if you want to. Why is that wealth required? Yes. Karma, okay. That's okay. Not what I was thinking of, but I was thinking Yeah, okay. I was thinking because wealth means security. Wealth means power and security. But is wealth really security? Or to put the same question in a different way, what is real wealth? Real wealth is that which gives security, okay, and fulfills your desires and makes your senses fully satisfied. And that the Bhagavatam wants to give us, and that Maharaj Prickett wants to give us the opportunity to hear about. So, so he wants to. No, we missed one. The end of that one. So my body was almost destroyed. So Maharaj Prickett is saying I would be ungrateful if I was not interested to hear about Krishna. I would be ungrateful after what he has done for me. Which is a very interesting point for devotees to contemplate our gratitude to Krishna. Prabhupada speaks about this in the Ajamil pastime, that there should be sometimes some lamentation, on the other side gratitude for what, where would we be without Krishna's mercy, how it descended, came to us. Okay. And then the seventh verse, which is the last verse in this particular section that we have discussed in a little bit, indeed in some detail. Lord Krishna, appearing within and outside of all materially embodied living beings. This is again Maharaj Prickett speaking. By his own potency, maya manushyasya, that means sambhavam yapma maya, that when Krishna comes, even though he looks, he's pointing to this, and he brings this to our attention now, because we're going to hear very, very soon about this person who wanders throughout the fields of Vrindavan herding cows with two arms, with two legs, playing a flute, a peacock feather atop his head, but he's completely transcendental. He's unlimitedly powerful. And he's doing this because this is who he is. He's not being forced by anyone or anything, nothing external to him. He's the supreme controller. He's unlimitedly powerful. And why does he act? Why does he do what he does? Only one reason, because he wants to. He wants to. Everyone else is pushed. One can even question, if one is very sober, if we have free will at all, because the modes of material nature are pushing us and pushing us and pushing us. If you want to see how the modes of material nature push you, just say, from now on, when I chant my japa, I'm not going to let my mind wander at all. Or I won't let my mind wander in the Bhagavatam katha. Just see how passion, ignorance, and the occasional mode of goodness makes its appearance when our consciousness happens to be clear. One can question whether one has free will at all. What makes us act then? We're being pushed. There are a topic that perhaps we will talk about later. But Krishna, he's all powerful. The modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance are under him. He never falls under their control. Why does he act as he does? Why does he come to this world? And he manifests, as Sukadev says, he appears inside. He's in everyone's heart. And he's waiting for us to turn to him instead of away from him. Turn towards him, towards his service. Not mechanically, but with devotion. because he's the most lovable object. He appears as a super soul, and to those who have inner vision, to those who are focused inside on their relationship with Krishna, that's how they relate to Krishna. And to those who are externally focused, he appears in the form as eternal time. Kalosmin. What's the rest of that? Kalosmin Loka Chaya Krit. Arjuna asks about the form, what form this universal form is that's destroying everything. He said, I am time, and I've come to destroy everything. So whether we want to be with that Supreme Lord who cares and is loving and we have a personal relationship with him and who's all-powerful, or do we want to face him as eternal time? This is the difference between an internal vision and an external vision. I'll just read the comment of Sridhar Swami on this point because I won't be able, I would like to just say it as he says it. He, as the inner controller, gives liberation to those whose vision is inward, who see deeply beyond the surface. And as the form of time, he is death to those whose vision is outward, who are only looking at the material world externally, superficially, thinking it is meant for their enjoyment. Therefore, he concludes, his exploits should be heard by those, he even says, only be heard by those who have an inner vision. So that is a good prayer too. How to develop depth and an internal vision by mercy. By mercy. By our attempt and by mercy. So Maya Manusha, he's come by his own potency, even though he looks like a human being, Nara Rupa, but he comes to give liberation to everyone. He liberates the devotees, sends them home, and he liberates the materialists from their material bodies and sends them to another material body in the form of death and time. Okay, next. Either as cruel death or in life. Prayatsato mrityam uta amritam. Life, no mrityam, no death. Kindly enlighten me. This is his sincere prayer to Sukadeva Goswami. And this was the purpose of us reading in detail and speaking in detail about all these initial prayers by Sukadeva Goswami, just to get to this point. Please, please enlighten me. Remove the darkness from my consciousness. Enlighten me. Fill my consciousness with Krishna's transcendental characteristics. Vadasva vidvan. Sva vidvan. You know everything about Krishna. You have the real wealth. You are my treasure. Because you are going to remove the darkness of my consciousness with Krishna's characteristics. So we want to somehow get in that mood for all the katas. And for our own japa. There's one letter in which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, when you are chanting on your japa mala, on your beads, you can think that you are touching the lotus feet of Sri Gaurasunda, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Be in an internal mood. Be in a mood that makes us receptive to the transcendental vibrations that are so easily available in Sri Vrindavan Dham, in this retreat in the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. Now, how to place ourselves in that mood? How to be that sincere that even though my consciousness is as dull as a but we can't say that when we're in front of Giriraj. Dull is just like when I wake up in the morning first thing. Very dull. Discuss that point for a few minutes. How to place our consciousness in a receptive way, like is described by Sukadeva Goswami. Please discuss, and then we'll continue. But be honest. Include this one. 4. You have to turn around, Prabhu. Just a few minutes. But be sincere and be honest. Ask others what to do. The sorrow, face the sorrow of one's own lowliness. Okay, that was more a question. Now, after expressing his eagerness, now he's going to ask some specific questions, Maharaj Prickett, because indeed he is eager. He has many questions. He inquired, this is a summary. He inquired from Sukadeva Goswami about Balaram's birth in the womb of both Devaki and Rohini, because Sukadeva had previously mentioned in two different texts that Balaram was the son of Devaki, and then he had said he was the son of Rohini. So he was listening carefully, and he asked about that. And he asked about Krishna's leaving his father's house for the house of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. He asked about Krishna's activities in Mathura and the killing of Kamsa and Krishna's living in Dwarka with his many wives. He wanted to hear everything. O great sage who knows everything about Krishna. Krishna Vachastitam. He's speaking directly. He wants to hear about Krishna, although he mentioned the name of Vishnu before, but this is what he wants to hear about, Krishna Vachastitam, because it was Krishna who had such an intimate relationship with every member of his family. Please, Vistritam, describe it in detail. Not in the broad way. I want to hear everything. All the activities, savammai, of which I have inquired, but also those of which I have not inquired, anyacha, other things. I want to hear everything. Everything about Krishna. As long as it's about Krishna, tatra loyam api mulam ekalam. Such eagerness. And this is a prayer that the devotees request. We want to know what to ask Giriraj about Giriraj Govardhan. When will I be eager? Please bless me with a drop of that. Please let me associate with those who are more eager than I am. Then, like the common cold, it's catching. For I have full faith. This, he wasn't, he didn't have a divided mind. You know, this today, this tomorrow, here I'll do this, and then I'll do that, and maybe this, and perhaps that. No divided mind, just faith and focus. He had boarded that boat of Krishna's lotus feet, and he had committed himself fully internally. And with that internal vision, he even saw the curse that was to cause his death to be Krishna's arrangement. Now that is internal vision. That tateinu kampam susimitsuna. That type of vision of seeing Krishna's mercy in everything, even the things we don't like. Even it's the challenge. It's a challenge of life. Because I see the mind, I see this from personal experience. When things are going very nicely, or my rounds happen to be good, or the kirtan is so sweet, then I board the boat. And then, when something happens that disturbs my rascal mind, that the universe doesn't cooperate with how I want things to happen, then I jump out angrily. I jump out off the boat. Into what? This is the tendency of the rascal mind. The untrained rascal mind. The untrained rascal mind that needs mercy and attraction to the lotus feet of Krishna. The untrained rascal mind is in which I am the center and is surprised. I become surprised because I identify with my mind and its thoughts. When the universe fails to cooperate with my desires and something happens that I didn't want to happen, maybe something terrible, I jump off the boat of Krishna's lotus feet. But the question is, into what am I jumping? But the mind doesn't care. This topic comes up. Okay. I am full faith and I'm eager to hear of them, because the hearing is the boat that he wishes to, because hearing brings chanting and remembering. Okay. Because of my vow on the verge of death, because remember, we're dealing with a person here who has accepted the fact that he has a week to 7 days to live. I've given up even drinking water. But look at his consciousness reflected in how he acts. He's thinking, I will not drink water because it was my thirst that caused me to put the dead garland of the dead snake around the Muni. Because of that, I have given up the drinking of water. Even that. He didn't criticize, amazingly enough, the Muni's son. His mind did not do that, and he didn't identify with that mind. He saw, look what I've done. I've given up even drinking water. Now, how is that even possible? He explains that. Because I'm drinking the nectar of topics about Krishna. Except that this is how, even though I may get sleepy, I may get bored, I may think that I've heard this before, I may think about whatever I may think about. He, this person, is hearing. It is like the katha coming from the lotus mouth of Sukadeva Goswami as a stream of nectar, and it's nourishing himself, his soul, him, on the deepest level. And therefore, all desires on the outside level become insignificant. Tuchavat, as the six Goswamis describe, insignificant. Because it is flowing from the lotus mouth of your lordship. So we would have to say that he has lotus ears, otherwise the lotus, because he's hearing in this way. That melody higher. Okay. My hunger and thirst because of the nectar that you are feeding me through my ears. My hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear. Naisha ati dusha, ati, not difficult, but ati dusha. Very difficult. It doesn't stop me. It doesn't hinder me. What consciousness he has. So exalted. And therefore he was qualified as a Mahabhagavata to be the king of the world. And then, so qualified to rule, look what Krishna does. He takes him. Krishna's actions are very difficult to understand. Qualified ruler, so qualified that Kali Yuga, which causes such disturbance in our minds, cannot act. And that's one of the reasons why he took him, because it was time for Kali Yuga to come. And in his presence, Kali Yuga could not come. That's one reason. Another reason is so that the Bhagavatam could be spoken, this medicine to cure the age of Kali. So Sukadeva Goswami now will begin to answer. After hearing these pious questions, the most respectable devotee, Bhagavat Pradhana, the topmost devotee, the son of Vyasadeva, this is Sutta speaking to Shonaka, who's hearing. After hearing these pious questions by Vishnuratha, who was personally protected by Krishna, he thanked the king with great respect. Then, one time, I asked Srila Prabhupada how to treat a sannyasi who had left the movement, and he said, with respect. A Vaishnava treats everyone with respect, even an ant. So then he began to discourse, speak on topics concerning Krishna, Krishna Charitam, the activities of Krishna. He began to speak about Krishna, which are the remedy for all the sufferings in this age of Kali. Kali Kauma Sagnam destroys, removes the ills of Kali in so many ways. One way is it gives us instructions that if we apply will bring us to such purified consciousness. But in another way, just the act of hearing is medicine and it purifies. And then we have these examples to follow. So there's two verses where Sukadeva replies here before speaking, telling the story, beginning the pastime of Krishna's advent. The great Muni Satamam said, O your majesty, Rajarshi Satamam, he called him Muni Satamam, the best of sages, and he responds by calling him the best of kings, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to topics of Vasudeva, Vasudeva Katayam, because you have that attraction, because you have that fortune, because you have that grace. It is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding. Samyag Vya Vasita Buddhi. And here is an important point, that attraction is the goal. For all, only true goal for all humanity. Because yajata, the birth of that focused, fixed rati, attraction, taste, it is sublime. Why is it sublime? Because that attraction is unceasing. It is fixed. You are so fortunate. This attraction is the gift of service. And this attraction makes us serve with taste. And this is our goal, to become attracted to Krishna's names, Krishna Katha. This is the great fortune, if we have this. And it is my great unfortune, misfortune that I'm attracted to so many things. It's not like I'm not I have no attractions to anything, but I'm attracted to so many things other than Krishna. So how does Mahaprabhu describe that? Durdaivam idrisamiha nanujanunaga. I'm so afraid. You've given me so much and I have no attraction for it. And then what's the next verse? Humility. See my misfortune. Unless, O Giriraj, unless Dasta Vrindavan, unless O Srila Prabhupada, unless Guru Vaishnavas, unless Nityananda Prabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, unless Radha Govinda, Radha Shyama Sundar, we have so many merciful personages. But right, Giriraj is so prominent. Unless you are merciful to me, unless you give me one drop of mercy, what hope do I have? Maharaj Prickett, we can pray to too, because he was so fixed and focused. And Vasudeva, this is the final verse in this section, and we'll end here. Vasudeva kata prajna purusham chuni punata punatihi. That by this, when this, the questions are brought forward from Vasudeva kata, they're talking about Krishna, three different kinds of persons are benefit, punatihi, are purified. Vaktaram prachakam shrotrim. Shrotrim means the people who hear. Vaktaram means the speaker, and prachakam means who asks the question. So who is asking the questions? Maharaj Prickett. And who is speaking? Who is the vaktaram? Sukadev. And who are the shrotrims? All of us. So we are getting the benefit too. Three kinds of people are benefited. Tatpara shalilam yata, just like the Ganga benefits by its flow all the people that it comes in contact. So, and this is really the art of what we wish to do. Somehow absorb our consciousness in Krishna consciousness. Krishna, Krishna consciousness, be absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So this was a longer introduction than I had planned, but this is how the the Bhagavatam 10th canto begins. There are so many nice purports of Prabhupada here that I've unfortunately neglected, powerful ones, where he describes the world today. That will come up soon, actually, also. But right now, we shall end here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, oh generous-hearted hearers, who allowed me to read the words of our speakers and the questioners. Now, 1 o'clock is prasadam, and prasadam can sometimes be a little late, and it's, according to my watch, it's 5 minutes to one. So just take a few moments to face Giriraj. You can come as close as you like. Face Giriraj. And from hearing this kata, maybe some thoughts, desires, some hopes, some feelings that you're ready to face, the sorrowfully face, to accept the sorrow of facing your own lowliness. And maybe you can offer some prayers to Giriraj. Be it your internal best. If you like, you can chant in your mind too. I see Gopinath is there too. Then when you're ready, you can touch your forehead to the dust of Vrindavan and then go take prasadam. Try to keep an internal mood and meet Krishna in the form of sweetness. गोपद की जय श्री गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय श्री श्री गोनाथाय की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद भक्तवृंद की जय निताय गौर की जय श्री राधा गोविंद की जय श्री श्री गोपी राधा गोपीनाथ की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंद हरे हरे बोल